SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this gonna be?
Moneyline.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm diddly D.
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Wednesday afternoon, no better place to be than right here, right now on the Sports Grid Network. It's the best hour of your day, people. It's Donnie Wrightside here. It's Moneyline, SiriusXM Channel 159, and away we go. Monster topics to go over today. Huge baseball card. We'll get to some handicapping there in a little bit. Doubleheader in the NBA tonight. Exciting games, not necessarily, but let's see if we can find an edge and a way to win some money. Finally, yesterday, I was able to hit a parlay in the NBA after getting scapegoated a couple days in a row with just barely missing out. We didn't last night. Hit about a 3-1 parlay. It was beautiful. It worked out. I had a very good night with RBIs, going 6-6 overall, but I also tried to press it down by going with a couple guys with 2 RBI. Wasn't able to get a return there, but a positive night overall, and away we go. As we said, hot topics all the way around. Wide receivers getting paid. What's going to happen with T. Higgins? We'll get there. Well, trust me, we'll get there. But here's what I want to focus on. I love the fact that the segment to start the show now is a little bit longer, because you guys know I got a spot in my heart for this. Reggie Bush. Some things I just can't understand in life. And sometimes I blame it on myself, being in my mid-40s now. Maybe it's a younger thing, is what I'm surmising. And, you know, not everything is for me anymore. There's content out there that people absolutely love. I don't get it because I'm older. So I tend to stay with the things I know and what I saw throughout my life and how things always went down. Reggie Bush today, getting his Heisman Trophy back after 14 years. I see people celebrating it. And I quite honestly don't know why. I don't know why. Does it change my life one way or another if Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back? No, it doesn't. But under the rules, as we get into it, and I'm glad this happened today because we've been through this so many times. And I always call Reggie Bush the worst teammate in the history of collegiate sports. Maybe not the worst overall, but he's in that conversation. If I'm Matt Leinart, Lindell White, whoever associated with USC, I would never talk to that guy again. Because the fact that we were winning national championships and going on huge runs, and that has all been erased in the record books. Which is a shame for those guys. They worked hard, and maybe they were taking some handshakes from boosters and money on the side. But they weren't brazen enough to get caught. Reggie Bush didn't care about USC. Reggie Bush didn't care about his teammates at USC. Reggie Bush cared about himself, numero uno, and that's it. So when he got his Heisman Trophy taken away in 2011 for impermissible benefits, that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to have penalties in life for things you do wrong. When you go play college football, if there is a list of 10 commandments, the first commandment that you cannot break is taking money from boosters and or agents here. That's the cardinal sin in college football. He broke that. He deserved to lose his Heisman Trophy. Now, as we get down and try to find out, like, you know, the crux of it and what actually was going down, he gets the Heisman Trophy back. Now, hear me out on this, too. This is what I love about this. This is what I love about having conversations here with myself on the air. And it's perfect that I have a solo mission so I can get everything out on the table, right? Here's Reggie Bush's quote. Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy. I'm honored to return to the Heisman family, Bush said in a statement to ESPN. Here's the best quote of all time. My favorite quote, maybe of all time, in college sports. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of this organization, which is cheating. Which is cheating. So, you know what? I actually think that makes sense now. So Reggie Bush's role now in the Heisman house, so to speak, is to let everybody know how to cheat, how to get away with it here. That's what his role is basically what he's saying. My value and mission of the organization is I'm going to let everyone know how much I cheated and got away with it. And you know what, young kids? You can do it too. And I don't even have an argument anymore. It's just the way we are in sports. You take a look at some of the biggest cheating scandals that ever went down. When was the player really punished? Now, granted, yes, there were times where players were punished for cheating. I understand that. But hear me out. Lately, the Michigan Wolverines should have had their entire 2023 season wiped out for one of the biggest cheating scandals we've ever seen in college football. Do you know what happened? They won a national championship, and it's not going to be taken away. So for everybody out there in college football, shame on you for not having an elaborate scheme that was so crazy, it had your own paid coaching staff infiltrating other teams' sidelines to steal signals and gather intel. That wasn't against the rules, apparently. They found out about it. It was a master scandal. And nothing happened to the University of Michigan. So credit them for pushing the boundaries and saying, if we cheat and win, nobody's going to care. But our fan base will love us because we won, because we cheated. And that's how much we love this university. I can't hate the game. I can't. You can't hate the... Look, hate the player, don't hate the game. Michigan got away with a huge scandal and won a national championship because of it. They fundamentally changed their football team over the past couple years by cheating, and it worked, and it paid off. How can I fault anybody for this? Let's go to another cheating organization, the Houston Astros, one of the single biggest cheating organizations in the history of Major League Baseball. They did everything by the book, which shows you should actually have your franchise taken away from you and players thrown in jail, right? No. They win multiple World Series. Everybody in the South side of baseball hates the Houston Astros. Their fans love them. Why? Because they won. They didn't even have to pay any bit of effort to Major League Baseball except for just getting admonished. They shouldn't have done that. Pay some monetary fines. And what did they get? A couple games. I don't even know if they even got game suspensions at this point. It's so long ago, it feels like. The Astros openly cheated in your face in Major League Baseball and stole world championships. And it doesn't matter because it paid off. You're looking at the major players on that team for the Astros, all making bank now. Legendary status in Houston, world champions. They cheated all the way through and got caught, and it didn't matter. That's unbelievable. Go back to the New England Patriots. Hear me. The Patriots were on the sideline with video crews filming signals to steal them and decipher them by halftime. The New England Patriots were actually at the Super Bowl and filming the opposing team's practices leading up to the Super Bowl. What happened to them? Bill Belichick got a $1 million fine that Robert Kraft paid for him? Are you kidding me? Tom Brady, the Deflategate. I don't care what you think about what the difference was in the footballs. Tom Brady and the Patriots deflated footballs against the rules, got caught red-handed, smashed all the evidence, and it didn't matter. Nothing mattered. Tom Brady still played football for like another decade. Bill Belichick, up till this past year, was still coaching in the NFL through multiple cheating scandals. It didn't matter. The moral of the story right now, people, cheat as much as you can because the benefits far outweigh the disadvantages. How did we get here in this society? Reggie Bush broke the cardinal sin, disrespected his university, every one of his teammates, because he felt like he was the biggest fish in the pond and he's the only one that mattered. And he got his trophy back. Which means moving forward, don't worry. Cheat as much as you can, people, because it pays off in the end. It really does. It pays to cheat in today's society because we don't care. As long as you win, it's all good, brother. Do what you got to do. Donnie Wright's out on a solo mission here. We got a great show ahead. Make sure you keep the dial right here. SiriusXM Channel 159.
sportsgrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. sportsgrid.com.
Good day, I should say, to be a Detroit Lion right now. Penei Sewell signs a contract, 4 years, $112 million extension that makes him the highest-paid offensive lineman in the NFL. And I'm going to say, I don't see the rest of this tweet here by Mike Garofalo. Probably the highest-paid offensive lineman maybe in history, then $85 million guaranteed. That is tremendous here. Great offensive lineman in a great spot. He signs. Also, if you weren't paying attention a little bit earlier today, Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the better young wide receivers in the NFL, comes to an agreement that makes him the highest paid wide receiver currently in the NFL. It's the time that you strike, you can make it rich. Those guys are doing that for Detroit, which brings me up some interesting topics on this. Because if you are an NFL team and you're not proactive and you are reactive, you're really going to get run up the flagpole. And if you don't know what we're talking about here, the price of the brick goes higher every time one of these guys signs. Somebody's going to sign and be the highest paid player in the league. Within a couple weeks, they're going to be like third or fourth in line. So the longer you wait, usually, with great players, the more you're going to pay. Which brings up the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles signed Devonta Smith. Big contract a couple days ago, it feels like. It's already $5 million off market value to be the top priced wide receiver. Good on the Eagles. They were proactive. They didn't wait for some of these deals to come down. But the reason I'm bringing this up is not because it's Devonta Smith, who I think, again, the case in point is, when these contracts are starting to be fired away, be first in line. Same thing with the quarterback. If you know your quarterback's going to make a ton of money, you better sign him now rather than later, because that's really going to hurt your bottom line. Number one, paying the guy, maybe what you think over his market value is. And number two, those market caps that are going to hit in the next few years, if that quarterback doesn't turn out to be everything you think he is going to be. Because if he's good, he plays a long time, you kick the can down the road, you get 10 years out of it, nobody cares. But so many times we see players not living up to the capabilities of that large contract, and also, and that contract coming due, that's a lot of accelerated numbers against the salary cap. See what's going on in Denver with Russell Wilson? Good grief, man. Every year we're seeing major, major contracts getting eaten. Oh, they can't do that, and they do it every single year. But how about this? Being proactive, St. Brown gets that deal done, highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. So you know who's lurking now in the weeds? That's Justin Jefferson. He'll be the highest paid player in the NFL. And maybe there was a structure already put together on what Justin Jefferson's representation was asking for the Vikings. They're probably just reset today again, because that means he needs more money than the top number, which is Amon-Ra St. Brown. How about CeeDee Lamb out there looking for his extension? An unbelievably talented wide receiver. Dallas is probably the kings of, we do everything backwards. And maybe that's why Jerry Jones doesn't have a Super Bowl since the mid-1990s. Dak Prescott right now is eating up cap space of $40 to $50 million right now. If you extended him and he was your guy, you could drop that number literally in half or even less. They haven't done that yet. So my favorite part of that is they have a contract in place with Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, that if he is going into his last year of his contract, which is this year, they can't even franchise tag him at the end of it. So maybe he just walks away. But here's the best part about this deal. Here's why Dallas gets crippled. If free agent Dak Prescott next offseason signs with, let's just say, the Los Angeles Rams to pick a team, right? Matthew Stafford retires. Dak Prescott goes to LA on a big contract. Do you guys know that the Dallas Cowboys are on the hook for $40 million in dead cap space when he walks away as a free agent? Isn't that incredible? Like, I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing, but him not signing anybody or restructuring much at all in the offseason, not making them a better team, and if Dak walks next year, the Cowboys are still on the hook for $40 million in dead cap space. Doesn't make any sense. Brandon Ayuk also looking for a deal here with the 49ers. And every single day that they delay, the price of the brick goes higher on Brandon Ayuk also. And how about this? In Cincinnati, here's the key to winning football games and having long-term success with your quarterback. Keep your quarterback happy. How do you do that? Number one, you pay your quarterback. Number two, you pay for weapons for your quarterback. You see with Cincinnati, Joe Burrow there. Unbelievable talent. Do you know why he's got a lot of talent that can be maximized? Because they give him players like Ja'Marr Chase on the outside and T. Higgins. That's why. That's why he's successful. Would he still be good with average wide receivers? Marginally, yes. But you can be an outstanding quarterback if you get those weapons, and he has those. But here's the question. I've argued this a couple times on Twitter. There's no way T. Higgins is playing under his franchise deal. I don't care what T. Higgins says to the media. He's being a good sport about this. Every single player is ringing the cash register around T. Higgins. And he's supposed to play for about $20 million next year. No shot that happens. And the Bengals, notoriously one of the cheapest franchise in sport, probably going to say, well, yeah, you're going to play on the net franchise tag. We're not going to play at all. Like, they'd rather be like, you know what, let's set a precedent here. Congratulations, Bengals. And also, Ja'Marr Chase right behind him. They pick up his fifth-year extension or whatever it is. Pay that man. What is wrong with you guys? How do you have these guys lingering into these years where they're not happy with their contracts when if you signed them sooner than later, if you thought they were franchise guys, which they are, they would be happy and want to play for you? Why do we make it so complicated and so hard all the time? The fact that in like 2 years, the Cincinnati Bengals probably won't have T. Higgins and or Ja'Marr Chase, what's the deal? Sign these guys. And if you can't afford your own football team because you have your entire family working for the organization without that generational wealth that so many owners have now where they can front load this money with cash and signing bonuses, and you can sell half of the team, sell three quarters of the team, but still keep a controlling interest where you run the franchise so you can pay these guys. It's almost like you paid Joe Burrow. It's like, we have no money left. Can't pay anybody. We'll just go franchise tag year to year, even if it doesn't help our team. You see how good that division is? Come on now. Cincinnati, wake up. Start paying people. But T. Higgins is a damn good wide receiver. Ja'Marr Chase, a damn good wide receiver. You should play hardball with those guys. It's absolutely outrageous. If you signed them a year ago like you probably should have, you wouldn't be running into these issues here. Yes, we know the salary cap goes up every single year. Use that to your advantage. You probably would have saved $5, $6, $7 million a year on these guys. But instead, you're going to wait, piss off your best players and not pay them, and then try to come back on the back end and be like, well, that's the rules in place. Everybody plays by... No, they don't play by the same rules. Look at other organizations. When they know they have talent in-house, you want to make sure that talent is happy. What's better for the Cincinnati Bengals? An angry Ja'Marr Chase and an angry T. Higgins that when they hurt their ankle or pull their hamstring midway through the season, if they don't have a long-term deal and they're hitting free agency, will go, I'm just looking to get healthy for next year. I don't care about the Bengals. Look at the way the Bengals treated me. I'll treat them the same way, and I'll be out of here in the following year. Goodness gracious, hot topics all the way around. Let's talk some NBA action next. Doubleheader tonight. Boy, oh boy, are we looking at blowouts? Could be, people. Sonny writes out on the solo mission right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Getting the winning edge, people. By the way, didn't have a chance to get a best bet in this morning on the early line. Had an intern do his final show today. Let him take some airtime on the final segment. He's got Edmonton tonight. We'll see if the Edmonton Oilers can pick up a dub. But the reason I bring that up is it's been hot in the NBA on best bets yesterday. Told you the Minnesota Timberwolves -3 was the play of the day. Easily dispatching of the Phoenix Suns. So if we just take a look briefly at what we saw yesterday in the NBA, swing it over to today, right? Those zigzag theories worked in the Mavericks-Clippers, right? Clippers won, game number one. Kawhi Leonard comes back for game number two. Mavericks still win. And by the way, when we were doing the early line yesterday, Davis Maddox's best bet was the Mavericks -2. They were dogs by the time the game started because Kawhi Leonard, who we weren't sure was going to play, enters in and plays. Didn't play all that well, but played a lot of minutes. That's a big win for the Mavericks now going back to Dallas, 1-1. Pacers and the Bucks. Pacers, it was almost like a role reversal. Game number one, the Bucks absolutely hammered the Pacers. The Pacers returned that favor, 125-108. Pascal Siakam has been nothing short of tremendous in those first two games for the Pacers, 37-11-6. Damian Lillard, back-to-back games, 35 points and 34 points, was enough to lift them in game number two. The Pacers won every single quarter. 30-26, 30-29, 32-28, and 33-25. Now that game, 1-1, going back to Indianapolis. We'll see what happens in Indy if they can pull away and win that series. And also the focus, surely, it's going to be on Giannis Antetokounmpo. When is he coming back? We do have a lot of questions with superstars and injuries in this playoff round. One came back in Kawhi Leonard. Now we're going to wait on guys like Zion Williamson. Is it too late? Jimmy Butler, is it going to be too late? Probably so at this point, right? So there are other guys that we're viewing. Giannis Antetokounmpo, when's he coming back? We don't know. Maybe it's the next game. You're now 1-1. Can you afford to go down 2-1 and still have him weighed out? I don't know what the case is going to be. Not privy to the exams and what he's working on in his rehab. But I got to tell you, he's probably going to be back sooner than later. But the T-Wolves last night, 105-93 over the Suns. Another double-digit victory. Another easy one there. Blasted him in the second half. Won the third quarter by 8 points. The fourth quarter by 5 points. En route to a double-digit victory. T-Wolves are a good team. And I just keep flat out saying it. They're better than the Suns. The Suns' individual talent, technically over time, looks a lot better with who they have. But as a team concept, the Timberwolves, they're for real. They're for real. No doubt about it. Offense, defense, coaching, star players, they've got it all. That's why I took the T-Wolves to win that series before it started at a plus 114 price. Looking good on my picks here so far in round number one. In a parlay I have with four different teams in their series, three of my teams a 2-0 series lead, and the other one was the Mavericks, who were down 0-1, which I could not afford for them to go down 0-2. They even that up, now take back home court advantage, and that should work out well in my favor. Wednesday, NBA action. Got a doubleheader tonight. Heat Celtics, Pelicans Thunder. Heat Celtics, 7 o'clock tonight. Pelicans Thunder, 9:30 p.m. So a nice doubleheader on deck. Or is it? Because yesterday we're looking at really low lines. And what you thought would be competitive games. Whether they ended up competitive is one thing or another, but it's just the excitement leading up to it. So we have excitement here for the 7 o'clock game tonight, Heat-Celtics. We might have had that if Jimmy Butler was back and you knew that you were going to get an honest effort out of the Miami Heat. Not by running up and down the court and playing as hard as you can, an honest effort being like, yeah, we have talent. We can go toe-to-toe with the Boston Celtics. If Jimmy Butler was healthy, that would have been a very intriguing series. Now, do I think the Celtics would end up losing that series? No, I don't. But this feels like, all intents and purposes, the series is already over. And I know you're not supposed to do that. The Miami Heat are getting 14.5 points from the Boston Celtics. 14.5 points. That's pretty insane for a playoff game. And by the way, the overnight line at the FanDuel Sportsbook was even higher than that. It was 15.5. So at least that came down lower. Prevailing line across the board is 203.5 as a total. And the question is going to be, who's going to be able to score for the Miami Heat? Who can keep them in the game? We already know that the Miami Heat aren't as talented as the Boston Celtics. And Eric Spoelstra, in game number one, tried to go to his own defense to try to deflect some of that. Like, yeah, we can't take these guys one-on-one. And all we saw was Peyton Pritchard come into the game with Sam Hauser and just start dropping bombs from three-point range. And when Hauser is lighting up from three-point range early, you know how that game's going to end up. And it was an easy blowout victory for the Celtics. So how did the Miami Heat come back and play well tonight? Is it Duncan Robinson making like 7 3-point shots? Is that what it is? Like Tyler Hero going nuclear from three-point range? Kevin Love turning back the clock 10 years to score 20-plus points? I don't know how the Miami Heat stay in this one. I really don't. Should be a blowout here. Maybe a 3-point prop parlay tonight to have some fun with. But game number two at 9:30 tonight, Pelicans and the Thunder. That line is 7.5. We'll talk about that a little bit after the break. And also, handicap some Major League Baseball people. It's almost May, and you know that's when we start to get down. Stani Wrightside on a solo mission on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rocking and rolling here through the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside here. Kevin Walsh will be back tomorrow, I believe, for the NFL draft, which should have a lot of intrigue. The first round goes tomorrow night in prime time, followed by the second and third rounds on Friday. Then Saturday, they complete the draft. A lot of intrigue at the top outside of the number one pick, which is going to be Caleb Williams. Always has been Caleb Williams all the way through. We'll see what happens in 2 through 6 or 7, where we anticipate at least 4 quarterbacks to go in that time frame, which J.J. McCarthy might be that wild card on how high he can actually go. And if there's a lot more smoke, then there is fire behind J.J. McCarthy. Past 2 days on the early line, if you guys haven't caught the episode, shame on you. Took the Phil Sims yesterday. and Boomer Esiason today to sort of get that. What do you think is going to happen in the draft here? And high praise for a lot of these quarterbacks, and rightfully so. Like, nobody's saying, like, oh, this guy could be an outright bust at this point, or maybe this guy won't be as good. That wasn't the case. We're trying to ask, like, which one of these players is deserving probably to go number two overall? Jaden Daniels, certainly electric from the pocket, big-time arm with the ability to have 1,000-yard rushing seasons along with 4,000 passing yards. Could you pass that up if you're the Washington Commanders? Or do you just go with Drake May? Big kid, agile kid, big-time arm with a high upside. Does that fit your needs a little bit better than Jaden Daniels? Also, the end of the first round, or who knows, actually, in the first round, if they'll either go. That's Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Could Penix be moving up a lot quicker? And these are the things that I always get intrigued by. Like, you look at, like, J.J. McCarthy, you know, moving up that list where it's like, hey, man, we really think this guy could be a great NFL player, but not seeing all that much out of him in the college landscape. Because typically we're used to quarterbacks throwing for a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns, and therefore they should be able to compete in the NFL because they run NFL-style offenses. That's not really the case, because usually the college system offense is there to inflate numbers. J.J. McCarthy ran more of a pro-style offense with Michigan that was run-centric. They didn't ask him to throw for a lot of yards, but I still think it's interesting for a guy that basically was throwing for 200 yards or less can be that guy at the NFL level when it's more about passing than rushing and our team is just better than yours. There's a lot of parity in the NFL and how well he would actually do once he got into that environment. But we'll find out everything tomorrow on where everybody is going, and the Sports Grid Network certainly has you covered with a lot of live, I was going to say in-game coverage. I guess you could technically say in-game during the draft, but the second screen is going to be burning yesterday because the first screen, quite frankly, should be the Sports Grid Network with everything we have on topic for tomorrow night's action. Let's get to the phone lines here. Have some fun. 844-843-6879. The X-Man calling in here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's see if he's got some action tonight, X-Man. What's good, man?
Yo, man, shout out to Reggie Bush.
You should get the Heisman. Yeah. I'd give you the Heisman over him. How about that?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Yeah, let me get the Edmonton Oilers and on the money line. Give me OKC Thunder on the money line.
Uh-huh.
The New York Yankees on the money line.
Yeah.
And my boy Jaylen Brown of the Celtics to get 20 points. It's 5-1.
Yeah,
let's do it.
That's a good bet. That's a good. Now, see, when I'm going through in my head, typically, I'm waiting for that one game, X-Man, that goes like, ooh, this is going to be a tough one, but that adds to the number. I love where you're coming from. 5-1, sensible price, but everything you just said, I'm going, that's a win. That's a win. That's a win. That's a win. That's got to be cashed out today. That has to be a winner today, X-Man. Yeah, I'm feeling that one. I am. Put that out to the people on Twitter so we get some retweets behind that, because that one seems like nobody's going to look at the parlay that the X-Man just laid out and be like, yeah, that doesn't look like a good one. Like, that looks like legitimately you might only have to be on your phone to check the updates and get that text letting you know that you won that wager. I like that here. Look at that. Sensible, cash in your pocket. Every once in a while, we like to have those lottery tickets, but putting more money in your pocket is a lot funner than, man, why did I take this guy to make 8 3-point shots when he made 2 3-point shots? See what I mean? That's what X-Man's doing. Smart, sensible. Let's get after it, and I think that one wins here. Oklahoma City tonight, home team number one overall seed in the Western Conference, going up against the Pelicans here. Are we getting drawn in by this line? Pelicans were close in game number one. They're waiting on Zion Williamson. I don't think he's going to be back for the playoffs because, quite frankly, Zion, of all people, is not exactly the fastest healer we've ever seen. So for him returning sooner than later to be in a Pelicans uniform, I don't know if that happens. But having said that, I do think, and this is where you get caught up, right? Because the overnight line at FanDuel is 8.5. It's down to 7.5. So it is going in the Pelicans' direction. But if we're looking at just a market percentage basis across the board, it's like 7 out of every 10 tickets are coming in on the Pelicans. So you see that big number, it's like they are a trendy dog in this situation. And it's the same thing with the Miami Heat. Like, you look at that line and go, 14.5. You got to be kidding me, man. Eric Spoelstra's going to have that team ready to go. We've seen that zombie Heat lineup without any starters actually win basketball games in the regular season. How about this? 84% of the tickets across the board are coming in on the Miami Heat. So you're telling me right now, we have both road teams who, yes, you don't want to go down 0-2. I get it. Just because you want to win doesn't mean you're always going to win that second game. But are we led to believe that it's going to be a dog night in the NBA? Is that what we're looking at? People want the Miami Heat to cover after what they saw against the Celtics? The Celtics might rain down three-point shots. And what's going to save the Miami Heat? Is it Tyler Hero? As I said, Tyler Hero needs at least 25 points. Kevin Love's got to chime in for at least double digits off the bench. Duncan Robinson's got to give you four or more three-point shots. See where I'm going here? Jaime Jaquez has to have 15-plus points. Boy, there's a lot of question marks on the Heat just to hang around tonight. But the public generally is saying, we'll eat the Miami Heat up. 8 out of every 10 tickets, quite frankly, more than 83 out of every 100 tickets coming into the Miami Heat tonight, saying, I'll take that 14.5 points. I'll take those two touchdowns here in game number two. But Pelicans and Thunder here. SGA, you know what his points prop is? I love this, man. You can just set your clock to it. What would you think it is if you took a guess, right? Driving around in your cubicle, hanging out for the day, listening on your phone right now. You're saying the same thing I am. It's probably 30 points, and you'd be right. It's 29.5. Because SGA loves 30 points, man. He doesn't love 38. He doesn't love 36. He doesn't love 34 points. SGA loves himself some 30, 31, 32. That's his range tonight, and that's his prop bet. We'll see if he gets there. But also with the NBA. Only a doubleheader tonight. Kind of disappointing a little bit. Because we're used to the tripleheader, right? 7, 7:30, 9:30, whatever it might be, 10 o'clock. With good basketball games. And it feels like we're not going to get that tonight. I'm not all that excited. I was really excited for the past couple nights. And I'm a Sixers fan and I have no idea how they lost that game the way they did. But they lost. And to the victors go the spoils. And the New York Knicks and their fans up 2-0 before the game tomorrow night in the city of brotherly love. We'll see how that one plays out. But tomorrow night's games, Cleveland Cavaliers, Orlando Magic, New York Knicks, Philadelphia 76ers, Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Lakers, at the same time the draft is going on. You can have both. Well, look, most people, most sporting aficionados, it's not 1983. Like, it's not like, hey, I'm going to fight the old lady here for the TV. She wants to watch Walter Cronkite here. Or Mr. Donaldson give us the news. No. You got multiple TVs, man. You could probably slip down in your basement right now and have two side-by-side TVs down there. And your phone out on X. And have a tablet out just to check on in another game. That's the way us guys get down, man. So much easier with the technology where it's no longer like, man, how can I watch more than one game at once? Which always baffles me now at this point. Like, the NFL doesn't care on Sunday. They line up at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock and say, we'll go head-to-head with our own games. You'll be able to figure it out. You got the YouTube ticket. You got your home game if you want to watch. You got the red zone. There's so many options here. So, like the NBA, do me a solid, right? You know, I mean, come on. Cavaliers Magic tomorrow night, Knicks and the Sixers. Almost side by side. It's fine. It's cool. I wish you could throw that Lakers game on. Start that Lakers game at 9 o'clock so the average person can watch on a Thursday night. Don't get me started on that, people. Don't get me started on when these games should be starting so we can get those big, big ratings in. We've got a lot more to go on the show. I want to flip it over to Major League Baseball next. Let's go through and handicap a couple of these games and see if we can find some intricacies on guys that can probably get RBI tonight. How about that? That sound good? If you like that, return back here. SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Checking in here with Major League Baseball. Did you guys know there was a game going on right now? Technically. Not really anything going on in the game. The Arizona Diamondbacks 1, St. Louis 0, bottom of the sixth inning. Bluebirds got to start coming out here for the Redbirds, man. They got bounced last night, 14-1. They scored one run yesterday. They have no runs today. Looks like a beautiful day in St. Louis. Ballpark empty out here. Not a lot of love for the St. Louis Cardinals and baseball heaven right now. See if they can turn that game around. If any changes come up there, any scoring changes, we'll let you know. But let's start handicapping a little bit. Next game on the card, 3:45 p.m., New York Mets and the San Francisco Giants. It's not on the West Coast. So de facto, what, 12:45 game, this is going to start. Temperature's always the same, it feels like, in San Francisco. It's about 60 degrees. Wind is always blowing out the dead center field. So don't ever look at San Francisco and say to yourself, hey, Donnie, the wind's blowing out. It always blows out to center field. That's the way the field is built. Doesn't really make too much of a difference because it's the consummate pitching ballpark. And having said that, Sean Manea on the mound, he's been really good this season. 86 batters face an ISO of 055, a weighted on base percentage of 291. So I'm not looking at anything the Giants can do today, even though they got three guys in the middle of that lineup, Conforto, Soler, and Chapman, that are doing a lot of damage against left-handed pitching. But I look at the pitcher first and then factor over to the lineup to see how that makes sense. Ryan Walker, right-handed pitcher on the mound for the San Francisco Giants. 51 batters he's faced this season. Sensational with his analytical numbers. ISO power number 044, weighted on base percentage 241. I'm not messing with that guy. I don't care that Pete Alonso's having a decent year against right-handed pitching or Tyrone Taylor. Nothing. We got nothing in that game overall. 407 start, Baltimore and the Los Angeles Angels. Say 9.5 or so in total, so we're expecting some runs here. Dean Kramer's on the mound, 94 batters he's faced. He's got an elevated ISO power number combined, by the way, of 216. Lefties 225, righties at a 208. So there is some damage to be done. And by the way, Mike Trout having a sensational season already. 367 ISO, 404 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching. He is absolutely cracking craniums at this point. So if you're looking for an RBI prop in the Angels game, it probably starts and finishes with Mike Trout. But having said that, not a perfect matchup across the board here where you're looking at a lot of guys. Now, you always take a look at that Orioles lineup, and it always looks sensational. Tyler Anderson's going to be on the mound. Now, hear me out on this. This season, 98 batters faced, an ISO of 135 and a weighted on-base percentage of 248. Sensational. Even though that Baltimore Orioles lineup today against left-handed pitching looks tremendous. Rutschman, Mountcastle, Santander, Westberg, Colton Kowser, and Jorge Mateo all look very good. I still probably wouldn't take any props. Even though last year Tyler Anderson did struggle, he's not a great pitcher, more of a journeyman. I just don't like the overall matchup. Now, if you're betting blind and you're saying, look, the Orioles are really good, they should be fine in this game, I hear you. And if you want to go that direction early, you can do that. But just on the early numbers for return here, I just don't see that actually happening. Looks like we had a couple runners scoring here for the St. Louis Cardinals. Should I say one run score here? And this is what would upset me. There's one out, there was runners on second and third. Yesterday, I took Nolan Arenado to get two or more RBI in a round robin. He actually didn't get any RBI because that team only scored one run. But he gets a base knock, and Contreras is at second base, gets a pretty good jump out of this. And by the time the fielder fields it, he's already starting to round third base. They hold him there with one out. Don't want to get him thrown out. But that would have been one that would have been able to cash like a plus 400, plus 450 or higher. And if you're doing a round robin, you already got one leg down. That would be a tough pill to swallow. Now it's a sixth inning. He'll probably get more at bats. But you get the drift here. That probably should have been two. All right, let's keep it moving. Boston and Cleveland. Cooper Criswell will be on the mound here for the Boston Red Sox. He's been really bad this year in limited batters against righties. A 235 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 374. Now, if you compare that to last year, guys, he was actually really bad against left-handed batters, which he's dominating this year. To see why it's still so hard through the first couple starts of the season to get an actual feel what these pitchers are. Because you're telling me last year he couldn't get lefties out. Now he only gets lefties out. Last year he was solid against right-handed batters. And this year he was horrendous against right-handed batters. And a pass ball here for the Arizona Diamondbacks gives the St. Louis Cardinals a 2-1 lead as Contreras scores from third base to home on that pass ball. So not much that we like here on that Boston side. Cleveland going up against Carlos Carrasco, who last year was terrible. 418 batters, high ISO, high weighted on base percentage. That's changed this year. Limited batters, dominating against right-handed batters, which him being a right-handed pitcher, struggling a little bit against left-handed batters. So if you're looking for anybody in the lineup today on the Boston Red Sox that would make sense, it's probably going to be Devers and Abreu. But outside of that, it's not a great matchup overall. Let's move forward to Bryce Wilson of the Milwaukee Brewers. 17 batters, left-handed batters he's faced this year. They're really getting to him. Last year, 124 left-handed batters. They got to him. So there's a little bit of a baseline to take a look at. But outside O'Neill Cruz in this lineup, going against right-handed pitching, he's the only guy performing. So again, Pittsburgh Pirates for me, early on, not looking at anything. Josh Fleming is on the mound, having a pretty good start this year. 42 batters he's faced, a zero ISO. We're immediately out. And quite frankly, I don't know based on just the early numbers if the Milwaukee Brewers even score today, guys. Every single batter in that lineup, outside of William Contreras, has a zero ISO power number against lefties this year. It's unheard of. And you know what William Contreras has? An 091. Forget that game altogether. Wipe it off the board. Philadelphia Phillies, Spencer Turnbull, who was a bad pitcher last year, is a really good one this year. So, just on the early numbers, even though some of these guys like Ellie De La Cruz, Will Benson, Spencer Steer got some good numbers against right-handed pitching, I'm out on that game as well. From the Phillies' perspective, Nick Lodolo, 46 batters he's faced this year, filthy. And I believe he's actually already started against the Phillies and dominated them, I want to say, without looking back. So the Phillies game, not looking too much here. So, we haven't fallen in love with any games yet here. Landon Knack on the mound here for the Los Angeles Dodgers up against the Nationals. He struggled a little bit this year with left-handed batters. So if we're taking a look at left-handed batters that could be able to do some damage today, look, you got a lot of lefties in that lineup today for the Nationals, as we anticipate. Abrams is a lefty. Winker's a lefty. Garcia's a lefty. Joey Gallo's a lefty. They might be able to do some damage. But again, you're basing this off of 11 batters on Knack. Jake Irvin, right-handed pitcher, getting damaged by left-handed batters. But he got crushed last year by lefties. You know who you're looking at in the middle of that lineup, people. Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Max Muncy, legitimate options for RBI against Jake Irvin. Isn't this fun? Handicapping Major League Baseball on a Wednesday, NBA doubleheader tonight, the NFL draft is tomorrow. It's a great time of the year, people. One more segment to go right here on Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside, solo missions. It's what we do, people. We have that fun, and we'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some more hot stories come across the desk of DRS that we want to talk about here. And why is that? Report. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy among big PGA Tour payouts. Now, some people, which, if you look at it right now, if you are a golf fan, having the PGA Tour and the LIV Golf Tour side by side, it's just terrible for golf. It limits the amount of superstars they're going to play every single week, and really turns into right now is all you want to do is watch the majors, because that's when all the great players can play at one time. The PGA Tour is not going to be sustainable over the next couple years with the way the tour is set up. Neither is LIV Golf, but here's the two things. Typically, the PGA Tour is, you know, I think they like to take a look at themselves as like a nonprofit, which is ridiculous. But they're not about endless cash flow. Endless cash flow is available in LIV Golf. They don't have any ratings. They give out tons of money to anybody they want to, but money is of no object. It doesn't matter. It's like it doesn't exist. It's water. That's always a renewable resource for them. They'll sign as many players as they want, but we don't really want that. We just want one tour here. Now, here's the reason why every single golfer on the PGA Tour should thank their lucky stars that LIV Golf came around and Phil Mickelson brokered a deal for that tour to come around. Yes, Phil Mickelson made a ton of money, don't get me wrong, but so did every other single golfer on both tours. The reason why players are getting paid so much money on the course is not because of the golf is good. It's because LIV Golf opened your eyes to what a racket the PGA Tour was running. The PGA Tour was paying pennies on the dollar to their athletes and getting away with it as if they were heroes. LIV Golf opens up, and all of a sudden, the PGA Tour is finding hundreds of millions of dollars extra in prize money, elevating tour events that weren't elevated before. And now we find out that Tiger Woods will receive up to $100 million in equity as the part of a newly created for-profit PGA Tour enterprises, with McIlroy getting about half of that amount, $50 million. So Tiger Woods isn't even effective on the golf course anymore, but yet still getting paid by the PGA Tour in excess of $100 million. It says nearly 200 players will receive a stake, with $750 million of it going to the top 36 players based on a formula that weighs career success and cultural popularity, according to the Telegraph. Other notable payouts include $30 million apiece for Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, while $75 million is targeted to go to notable retired players. Where was all this before? Why wasn't the PGA Tour actually doing this before? Now, it's a vested option that should take place, it says, over the next 8 years. And also, PGA Tour Enterprises received an investment of up to $3 billion earlier this year from Strategic Sports Group. And it says it's a consortium of sports owners that include the New York Mets' Steve Cohen and Atlanta Falcons' Arthur Blanks. Both of those guys are owners. So there you go. So instead of getting angry, like remember when the Rory McIlroy was furious at the LIV Golf Tour and everybody's saying, they can't ever come back here, and They're going to have to cry the blues. They don't want to play again. If the Live Tour never happened, these guys wouldn't be making anywhere near the amount of money that they are making now. So in effect, from a working man's perspective, the Live Golf Tour should be the savior of the PGA Tour players. But again, having said that, it's just financially not feasible for the tour's biggest stars to be separated in two separate factions, only coming together for about four tournaments per year. That has to change. And maybe it will down the stretch. But just the way it is, thought it was a topic that came across. That's like, look, some of these, and by the way, Rory getting $50 million for loyalty, when if he just would have went to the Live Golf Tour, would probably make 10 times that amount. So figure that one out. Thanks for the loyalty. Here's a, you know, pennies on the dollar of what you actually could have been getting here. Now, we got a big couple days here coming up on the Sports Grid Network, which does include tomorrow a lot of draft talk. Now, you guys know me. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And I do care about what happens in the top 10 because it's entertaining and they're superstar players. But I don't really bet all that much here, if any, on the actual draft. Opening night, how many trades, how many offensive players. That bores me. And quite frankly, I don't even know if I'm going to be up when the Philadelphia Eagles actually select. Don't know. I got to be in studio early on Friday morning, which means a 3 a.m. wake up for your boy Donnie Wrightside to get a shower, throw his slacks on, get his notes together, and drive over an hour and a half up to the studio and do a three-hour show and then drive back. It'll be exhausting on Friday, but it's what I do for the people. We got to bring you that information that you need, keep it light and lively. Studio shows are always a little bit more fun because you're side-by-side with your counterpart or counterparts, and it's great timing here. But for me, trying to watch the Philadelphia 76ers in game number 3 against the New York Knicks, trying to keep up possibly with the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't even know if they're actually playing Thursday. I'm just assuming they are at this point. And then also the NFL draft, which is going to take place a long time into the night on Thursday, and then that transfers over to Friday night as well with rounds 2 and rounds 3. Great stuff all the way around. It's a good sports night out here. Hopefully the NBA doesn't disappoint, and we can cash in some tickets. Let's go RBI props. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Moneyline. We'll be back to do it once again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.